Loosening up here today, all right? It's going to be good. How many are ready to say, I'm a survivor? Any survivors in the house? Come on, that's good. You know better. How many, any survivors in the house? There you go. Today we are saying we are survivors, that we are in a series. This is the sixth sermon in this series on I'm a Survivor. We have spent the first 4 weeks talking about how God wants to set us free. Not many times he doesn't want to pull us out of the storm. He wants to give us peace in the middle of our storm. That he doesn't want to set us, take us out of the fire. He wants to set us free in the middle of the fire. And at some point in our life, we've got to grow up as Christians and say that when I face crisis in my life, it's not the time for me to fall apart. It's not the time for me to sit around and go, woe is me. But it's time for me to stand up and look myself up in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm going to survive. With God's help, I'm going to survive. That should be my first reaction as a Christian is, with God's help, I'll survive anything life throws at me. And so last week we started talking about this faith issue. Are you ready for a faith fight? Are you ready for a faith fight? And today I want to talk about the second part of this sermon. Are you ready for a faith fight part two? Because the sermon was so long last week, I had to cut it off. Everybody said, thank the Lord, because we'd have been here till 3 o'clock. All right, there we go. But today, give me a few minutes as we continue to dive back into this thing on are you ready for a faith fight. 1 Timothy 6:12, as we talked about last week, says that we got to be ready to fight the good fight of what? Faith. It's a faith fight. If you didn't know it, you're in a battle, and it's a faith fight. We fight with our faith. And so if we fight with our faith, we got to say, we got to have a clear biblical definition of what faith really is. I believe that many of us here have been passed down from generation to generation from somebody who taught you about what faith was. But do we really have a clear definition? That's what I've asked you to do, is to not forget what you've been taught, but to just open your spirit up, open your mind up and say, let's open up the Word of God. Let's see what the Word of God, what Scripture says about faith, and let's learn to apply what Scripture is saying about faith to you and to me. I believe today that God is wanting to do something great in our lives. He's wanting you to grow and mature, and it comes when we learn to say, I'm going to operate at a higher faith level. It's one thing I see, that when I see people who are making a difference, when I see people who are going to a higher dimension, to a higher level, they are operating in a higher level of faith. Is this person more blessed of God? I don't believe so. I believe that the question is this person has learned to operate in a higher level of faith for their life. And you can have it, I can have it, we can walk in these areas of faith. So let's just jump right into our scripture. We read this last week in Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that's us, in Christ Jesus, that we might, what? Receive the promise. How many want to receive every promise God has for you? I should be 100% amen. How many want to receive every promise that God has for your life? Amen. And it says here that we receive the promises of God through what? Through faith. It says the promise of the Spirit was given through faith. So we know that faith accesses the promises of God. The promises of God are accessed through faith. Everyone needs salvation, but it's only activated through what? Faith. Did Jesus die for the sins of the world? Yes. Has Jesus died for everybody's sins? Yes. Is everybody saved? No. I want to make that very clear, because as I talked about last week, there's some false doctrine going out pushing this agenda, and I want you to know it's not right, because it doesn't line up with Scripture. Scripture says this, that we access salvation of grace through faith. We don't earn it. It's freely given to all, but we access it through faith. That's why it's possible for salvation be given to everyone, but only those who believe in faith receive it. Understand what I'm saying? Same thing happens, but the sad part is this, that many of us, we get stuck at the first level right there of faith, and God's got so much more that he wants to do in our life. According to Matthew 9:29, when Jesus was talking to the men who were the blind men, remember when they said, Son of David, have mercy on us, man. Hey, Son of David. And he's like, man, I've never seen this kind of faith. At this time, Jesus hadn't died on the cross. At this time, he hasn't been resurrected from the dead. And yet they're calling the Son of David. They're saying, we believe you are the Messiah, the one that was prophesied that would come from David's lineage. And so Jesus is moved with their great faith, that even his disciples were having a hard time at that point understanding. and believing. They were still struggling. Is he God? Is he man? Is he my brother? Is he my friend? Was he a great teacher? Is he really the Messiah? And these blind men are moved with faith because they are. Look what Jesus does. It says in verse 29 of Matthew chapter 9, and then he tests their eyes, saying, according to Jesus' faith, right? According to your neighbor's faith, what's it say? According to whose faith? Yours, mine. Everybody put your hand on your heart and say, mine, mine. According to my faith, let it be to you, is what he was saying. According to your faith, let it be to you. Let me paraphrase that. He says, according to how much you believe in your faith, it's a portion that I'm going to give back to you. He says, and their eyes were open. That faith, listen, the faith is not a substitute for maturity. Write that down. Faith is not a substitute for maturity. And what I mean by that is this, is that God will never give you what you're not mature enough to handle. So you can believe God for everything you want to believe for, but if you're not mature enough to handle what you're believing God for, he's not going to give it to you. We find the same principle a few weeks ago when we talked about the prodigal son. Remember how the prodigal son thought he was mature enough to handle the reward that he had come in his inheritance early on, and he proved that he was not able to handle what he thought he was able to handle. And the Father will not give to us what we're not able to handle. So faith, just because we have faith, doesn't mean we're mature. And so I want you to line that up, because sometimes we believe I can just skip maturing and just have faith to receive what I need. Now, some things come just with maturity. Some knowledge comes just with maturity. Some faith comes just with maturity. But just because I have faith, if it's not the right timing in my maturity level yet, God may not give it to me. Big chance he won't. See, faith only access what is God's will for my life. Let me say again, I have to have faith to access what is God's will for my life. I don't have faith to access what's God's will for Mike's life. God has a plan for him and has things he wants to give him, and I can't say that, God, I want exactly what Mike has. No, God has a specific plan for me. God has a personalized plan for me. God has a personalized vision for me. And my faith has got to be, God, I want to access the blessing you have for my life. I can be encouraged by other people's blessing, and we'll talk about that later on in the sermon. But we've got to realize that faith accesses the will of God for my life. Hebrews 11:1 says it is what? Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's a substance. Everybody say substance. It's tangible. Faith is the tangible things of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What's that mean? That means that it's tangible. You can't see it, but I can. I'm believing God for things in my life that you can't see. And you maybe won't agree with it because you can't see it, but I can see it in my spirit. God's DNA is all over the evidence. God is putting a dream in my heart. He is changing my heart. He's giving me vision. I can't sleep at night. I can't think about anything else. My mind goes there to the things of God. And it's not a selfish dream. It's a dream of God wanting to advance the kingdom of God in my life. It's God wanting me to advance to a higher level, a higher dimension than what he's calling me to live at right now. And so I've got to access that for myself through faith. Faith is a substance. It's the thing of the things hoped for that I'm believing God for. My faith is faith. I can feel it. I believe it. I see it in my spirit. Let me give you my definition of faith I gave you last week. I want to give it to you for clarity today. If you don't like it, it's just my definition, so you can just scrap it and throw it out. You want to hurt my feelings a bit. But I believe this is what the Word of God really translates to faith, that faith leads to a change of heart that believes God's Word to be so true that it produces a change of attitude and actions. That when I hear faith and when I operate in faith, it changes my heart because I believe, all right, God, you got something better for me. God, you got some more promises in my heart. God, you got some more promises for my life. You got some more promises for my ministry. God, you got some more promises for my marriage, for my children, for my family, for my finances, for my health. God, I see here, according to your word, you're wanting me to operate and move to a different level than I'm at right now. And so I see things by faith, and so I move to a different level, begin to act out in a different way. It changes the way I think. God, if you're calling me to a higher level, then I'm going to operate in the higher level. I'm going to talk like I'm there. I can't say, God, you called us to run a church. All right, God, you called us to run several thousand people at Destiny Church and then run my church like I run 50 people. Well, one day, no, I've got to say, all right, we're going to buy chairs to seat more people. We're going to have do things the best of our ability. We're going to operate at a level of excellence that we can operate right now. Why? I'm going to run my church like I'm running 1,000, even though I'm not 1,000 yet. Why? Because I'm going to get there. By faith, I'm going to get there. And when I get to 1,000, I'm going to run it like it's 2,000. Any faith believers in the house? I need someone to say amen. All right. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to talk like I'm walking and healing now. My body's hurting, but God, I thank you that your word says that your stripes are for my healing. Even though when I sit down and my back hurts because I got tumors attached to there, God, I'm believing this tumor's going to shrink. God, I believe according to your word. And so I got to line up my words and my actions. God, I'm going to quit complaining about my husband, and I'm going to thank you, God, that you're changing me to be a better wife. Because if I change to be a better wife, then my husband's going to react to me different. And God, I thank you for the husband that you're changing right now. God, I thank you for the marriage you're building right now. It changes my words. It changes my actions. It changes the way I talk. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are producing in me a new attitude, a new heart. It leads to a change of attitude. I'm going to quit dwelling on the mistakes, and I'm going to believe God for the promise. I'm going to quit dwelling on the hurt and believe God for the healing. I'm going to quit dwelling on the battle and thank God for the victory. It's a change. See, write this down. The evidence of our faith can be seen in how we handle our storm. Come on now. The evidence of our faith can be seen in how we handle our storm. Now, I'm supposed to teach. I didn't plan on preaching, but I just can't help it today. Because, listen, there's something that gets inside you when you realize that when we go through a storm, it shows us who we really are. It shows us who we really are today. When we go through a storm, you know, I can say I trust in the Lord. But when I go through a storm, I find out whether or not I really do. You want to find out your faith level? Walk in a storm. Are you going to give up Jesus? Jesus, I'm sinking. God, this boat's going under. Or are you saying, God, it's all right. If this boat sinks, I'll just walk on water along with my Savior. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know one thing. As long as I'm holding on to my Savior, I'm going to survive. God's giving me peace in my storm. Doesn't mean there won't be tears. Doesn't mean there won't be some hard days. It doesn't mean there won't be some sorrow. Doesn't mean there won't be some mourning. Those seasons come in our life. It does nothing wrong with it. It's a part of our human emotions to heal us, to God, to cleanse us. We get those things out and we work through our emotions. We work through our fears. But at the end of the day, it's God, I'm going to stand up. And I'm going not going to let this thing bring me down. I am not going to be defeated no matter how heavy this burden is. God, you will carry it. You said, I am to take upon your yoke and you will carry my burdens. Father, my faith is being raised up today. See, faith changes your attitude. Proverbs says the righteous become bold as a lion. See, faith will make you bold even in the middle of your weakness. Faith makes you look in the mirror. And when nobody else is there to wipe away your tears and nobody else is there to see you cry and you're crying and you do, we all do, that you can wipe away your own tears and look yourself in the mirror and say, I know this one thing. I may be crying right now because the word of God says that weeping may last for a night, but I'm also saying to myself that joy will return in the morning. That's faith. I'm crying. It's okay. But these tears won't last forever. A smile will return. Joy will return. And then not only will I have joy, but it's going to be a joy, unspeakable joy and full of glory. It's going to be a higher dimension, a higher level of what God is calling me to walk in. That's faith. It doesn't ignore that I'm going through the trial. It doesn't ignore I'm in the middle of a battle, but it picks yourself up. It's a faith believing, God, you've got something waiting for me. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Faith will help you preach to yourself. It's one thing to have Pastor Gene pump you up, but it's another thing Monday morning when you're going through a battle and you just get in the car and you've had a tough day and you just barely made it into the car. You wanted to kill your kids. You wanted to leave because you've been arguing with your spouse, and you get in the car and you just crank on the worship music and you begin to pray and begin to preach yourself going down the road. I'm having a tough time right now. I'm upset. This battle is getting me. It's weighing on me. I'm just going to proclaim right now, Satan, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper in the name of the Lord. And I will lift my hands and I will praise and I will lift my hands. And you're going down the road and crying and snotting coming down your face and you're worshiping the people looking at you like you're crazy. And you're like, I don't care. It's me and God in this car right now. Faith will preach at yourself. I'm talking about the mature person growing up saying, I'm going to preach to myself, encourage myself in the Lord. See, when the seed of the word connects with the womb of faith, it impregnates us itself with hope. When the seed of the word connects with the womb of faith, it impregnates itself with hope. When I allow the seed of God's word to connect in my womb, what? The womb of faith. So when I take God's word and it connects inside of me with faith, it produces what? It impregnates me with hope and expectation. Saying, I know the answer is not here yet, but I see the answer coming. I know that it's not all working out for good yet, but I believe all things work together for good. Trust and believe in the Lord. I believe that all things are going to work together. And even though I'm walking through a turmoil, I'm pregnant with the expectation that God of miracles on the way. All right, I just preached to myself today. I'm pregnant with the expectation that a miracle is on the way. Expecting that, God, you got a better thing for me. I'm just going to encourage myself in the Lord when nobody else to encourage me. God, I'll encourage myself. So you gotta say, God, I'm in your word, impregnate me. I'm tired of society trying to impregnate me with what they believe. I got enough people trying to impregnate me with their own negative thoughts and negative words and dream killers. How many know that little people with little vision always attack people with big vision? That was free. That didn't cost you anything today. All right. So now let's talk about this. So we're clear on what faith is. Let's talk about what faith does. In Hebrews 4:2. It says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to who? To them. But the word which they heard did not profit them anything, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Let me translate what it's saying. It says, we all heard the same word. They heard it. I heard it. You heard it. We all heard the same message. We all heard the same sermon. But only those who receive profit from that word were those who access it through faith. Those who believed the word that was spoken, those who operated in the word that was spoken, they profited from that word. That's why it's possible today that we must believe. See, our faith level must increase at Destiny Church because this church will only go as far as we believe. Do you believe that God can do something great in the 4-state area? Do you believe God can raise up a major ministry that can send out missionaries around the world? Can plant churches around the area? Do you believe God can raise up ministry that will be different? Do you believe that there can be a revival that can spread out of this place of young adults, of children, of youth, of moms and dads, of grandmas and grandpas? Well, they're being renewed in their heart. They're being renewed in making disciples. They're being renewed in evangelism, being renewed with a passion to worship God. Do you believe? Do you believe that God can do something greater than we could ever dream or imagine? Well, I don't know, Pastor. Statistics saying there's no church in this area that can be bigger than this amount. There's never been church. Well, who cares what statistics say? I believe what God's word says, anything is possible. And I don't want to dream man's dream. I want to dream God's dream. They said it was impossible that we'd ever start a church, but we're here. They said it was impossible we'd ever move out and get out of the Holiday Inn. We didn't have no money. We didn't have no equity, but we're in this building. It's impossible to obtain $1 million worth of property at church our size. But we obtained it, and we're paying it off, and God is helping us. We're going to dream big dreams. I'm a dreamer. And I'm going to believe God is going to raise up faith in people who are going to dream along with me and say, God, I'm ready for something different to happen. I don't want to just have another church, but I want to have a church that's making a difference, that can partner with other churches. Say, we're not in competition with no one. We're here to support the local church, and we're going to pray over other churches, and we're going to bless them, and we're going to say, God, set us a fire. God, set us a fire in our hearts. May the passion burn. For you, the lives are changed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to let our faith rise, not only for our own life, but we got a vision that God's planting in us. He's impregnating us with expectancy. He's impregnating us for the next level. Some of you have been dormant too long. God's going to give you a new dream. He's going to impregnate you with a new vision. Some of you think you're retired, but he's got ready to refire you. I'm just telling you right now. He's going to rehire. Refire, re-energize, and give you new passion, new dream. I'm prophesying over somebody here today. Somebody here today, you thought you was just here to heal and to receive healing. And that's good, you are. But that's only for a short season, because God is getting ready to raise you back up to be a voice. To raise you back up to be an instrument. Yes, he's got you in a season of healing because you've been hurt. And that's all right. I've been there. Believe me, I understand. But God is not through with you. God is just refining you. Hallelujah. Somebody receive that word right now. Father, I just pray over that person right now who that word is over. If that's you, just raise your hand. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray over that person right now who's raising their hand. Father, I pray that their season, God, of refining is happening right now. Healing their heart, God, re-energizing them, God, getting them refreshed, renewed for a new season, God, of ministry. God, you are not done with them, but God, you are refining them, re-empowering them, giving them fresh dream, and you're going to impregnate them with a fresh vision given from the Holy Spirit. I believe that over their life. I say amen. See, some people know more about God's word, but experience less. They have all the word knowledge, but they experience less because they don't believe it. See, it does no good to quote scripture from cover to cover. It does no good to have, 10 chapters memorized that you can quote. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Believe me, there's power in memorization of putting the word of God in. I'm not coming against that, but if you don't put it into operation, if you don't put your faith mixed in with it, it will never bring you profit. That's why somebody who's only been saved a year or two still smells like the junk they came out of will step in and say, Pastor James said this, I believe God's word is true, and I apply it to my life, and I experienced a blessing. Wow, that worked, Pastor. So the next series we go to, well, if the last one worked, this one's going to work. And they start listening, they take notes, they apply it to their life, and they walk in a new blessing. And you're like, wait a minute, God, this person still stinks like the mess they came out of, but you're blessing them. Right, because they're walking in a different level of belief. If you want to experience everything God has for you, you got to step out and say, I'm going to walk in a new level of belief. It's not enough just to quote it. It's not enough just to know it. It's not enough just to put it on your refrigerator. It's not enough just to write about it on Facebook. It's not enough just to tweet about it. You got to say, God, I'm putting it into action in my life. Someone turn to your neighbor and say, Pastor Gene ate his Wheaties today. All right. See, it does no good unless I put it into action, believing. Some people are impressed. They're impressive with their biblical knowledge. I know people who are very impressive with their biblical knowledge. But let them get into the ring of life and get hit with a big uppercut from life, and then they're down for the count. And I see other people who don't have a lot of knowledge, but they get into the ring of life and they get knocked down and they get right back up. Why? Because they believe. They get knocked down. Pastor Gene said, God said, I'm going to survive, so I'm going to get back up and keep walking. They believe it. And other people with all kinds of impressive theological knowledge, but yet they don't put it into action in their life. Because life will hit you. It'll hit you right between the eyes from time to time. It will hit you when you're not looking. It will sucker punch you, and boy, you'll be down for the count. But you got to have resolve and faith inside you, believing, God, I am not going to give up. I will survive. I will make it through this. Some people have got the spirit of Timex. Anyone here got a spirit of Timex on you? That's right. It takes a licking and keeps on ticking. You know what I'm talking about. I am not going to be defeated. I will not be defeated because I know that I am more than a conqueror. When others shout it out, you'll believe it. When others are dancing about it, you'll apply it. You believe it. It does no good just to shout it out. It does no good just to dance about it. It does no good just to wave it out. It's got to be something that comes into belief in my heart and results in me changing my action and my attitudes. The sermon you believe is a sermon that will bring you profit. When the word of God is being preached in truth, and you say, I believe that word, then I put my faith into action saying, I believe that, and I want to apply it to my life. Then I begin to get it. Do you have faith to believe God? Do you have faith to believe God that God will provide employment when there's a recession? Do you believe that God will have faith that I'll tithe when the account's getting low? Do I have faith in God to believe that I'm not going to give up when things look weak? Where's your faith? I stick with it. God, I stay rooted. I stay planted. I'm not going to say what I see, but I'm going to say what God's word says. I look around me. I don't see a lot of positive things sometimes. Sometimes I look around, there's a lot of negative things that are attacking me or coming at me. But I've got to take time to say, God, all right, help me see with 3D vision. I want to see not only what the natural sees, but God, I want to see into a higher dimension that you're calling me to walk in. All right, God, I see that, yeah, the storm is here, but I see if I'll just hold on, you're going to rise me up. I can soar as wings as eagles. So I can rise above the storm. It's looking at three dimension. I'm looking at three dimension living. It's faith. See, faith says, number one, faith makes me the word profitable. We just talked about that. The faith makes the word profitable to me. I hear the word of God and I apply it to my life. It makes it profitable. Number two, faith makes it personal. Faith makes it personal. It personalizes God's word for your life. It personalizes God's promises for your life. It makes the word of God that you see and you hear, you say, that's for me. All right, that's for me. Pastor's preaching on this. That's my word today. Was that word for everybody? Has that word been written for thousands of years? Yes, it has. But I hear it, and I say, that's my word for this season. That's my word for this season in my life where I'm at right now. I need that word. I take a hold of that word, and God, I'm standing on that word. God, I'm believing that word. See, faith takes it and makes it a personal for you. It personalizes it. It says this. It moves you to believe. It takes you from saying, God, I know you're a healer, to God, I know you're my healer. God, I know you are the way maker, but God, now I know you're my way maker. God, I know you are the source, but God, now you're my source. God, I know that you will make a way, but God, now I know you'll make a way for me. See, faith makes it personable. It's a personal word. God wants you to get a personal word. He wants you to have a personal faith that believes God for what you're going through. And you get that personal word and you hang on to it and it grows your faith. How does faith operate? It operates in different degrees, in different dimensions. The first dimension is the saving faith we talked about early on. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace, everybody say grace, we've been saved through what? Faith. I've been saved through grace. I don't earn it. I don't earn my salvation. I don't earn the grace. God has freely given me grace through the cross of Jesus Christ. It's grace I've been given through, but I obtain it through what? Faith. So we operate in salvation. We come to know the Lord through what? Faith. I believe that, Father, you are coming as the Messiah. I believe you come to forgive the sins of the world. I believe who you are, and I confess you as Lord of my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I accept the work that you did on the cross. I accept your grace that you freely give. No matter how bad I was, no matter how many sins I've committed, that God, your grace will wash me white as snow. And we have to obtain that through what? We access it through faith. I believe in faith to receive that. But the sad part is this, that many Christians never move beyond their faith in that level. we believe faith to receive our salvation, but then we stop right there and we never move and grow to higher levels of faith. We never grow. And the Lord says, I want you to grow. He wants you to grow in your faith. He wants you to trust him not only for your salvation, but for every area of your life. He wants you to learn to give him complete control and grow in your faith in different dimensions. The second dimension we see is a surrogate faith. Romans 10:17 says it like this, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. We grow in faith when we hear the word of the Lord. See, the more mature you become in Christ, the more kingdom-minded you should become. The more mature you become in Christ, the more kingdom-focused you become. When you're immature, it's all about me, right? How can I profit? What's best for me? What's best for my kingdom? But as I grow as a Christian and mature, I say, God, what do you want me to do? God, what's your plan for my life? God, what's your vision for my life? God, how can I best advance the kingdom of God? God, how can I help expand the kingdom of God? God, how can I help give to the kingdom of God? Your focus begins to change as you mature. And you also can learn to operate in a surrogate faith where you are helping believe God for more. You're partnering with your pastor saying, I believe, pastor, I'm ready, I believe. You're partnering with your neighbor. You're believing God for them and with them. You're becoming mature in that way. Listen, all of us here are beneficiaries of someone. Someone's had faith for us here in this room. How many can say, I had a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa or a cousin or an aunt or an uncle or a friend, a sister or a brother? Somebody prayed for me, believe me, when I was far away from God. Anybody here want to raise your hands? That's me. Yeah, you here. Some of you here, you're sitting in chairs you didn't pay for. You're sitting in chairs you didn't believe God for. But someone had a vision and say, I'm going to buy some chairs because there's going to be people coming. They're going to come. They're not here yet. And you're here but on somebody else's faith. You're doing the same thing right now. You're preparing, saying, God, I want to line up with faith. I'm ready for the next phase, the next vision. We're preparing for people who aren't even here yet. And they're going to walk in and sit down on your faith. It's a surrogate faith. You're carrying the faith for others. God, there's a kingdom mindedness here. You're believing God for somebody else. That's why you got to choose your friends wisely. You need to choose your friends wisely. You got to choose people who can help carry you in faith. It's all right to have some friends, but how many know you got to have some people who are in your corner? You got to have people around you who can help carry you. See, I want people with me that when I step into the ring of life and I get sucker punched and I get knocked down, and they're at the ropes in my corner shouting, get up. Don't give up. You can do it. And they're yelling, they're tapping on the mat, get up, get up, get up. There's enough friends out there to be like, oh, you should have saw that one coming. Bye. No, I want friends that are going to say, get up. You're better than that. You're stronger than that. God's stronger in you. Tap into the strength of the Holy Spirit in your life. Do not give up. I want people who are going to wave the banner, who are going to believe God for me when I'm feeling weak. I want people around me. It's a surrogate faith that people are shouting words of encouragement. People are carrying each other's burdens. They are believing God when you have a hard time believing God. They're agreeing with you in prayer. They're carrying your burdens one for another. And the last level of faith is this third dimension of faith. It's a stimulated faith. God wants our faith to be stimulated. You ever notice that Peter never really wanted to walk on water until he saw Jesus walking on water? We don't see Peter hanging out saying, boy, you can see that lake out there one day, guys. One day I'm going to walk on water. I mean, the concept never even filled his head, you know. He had never seen that. It didn't even cross his mind. But he sees Jesus walking on water. And he's like, hey, Jesus is walking on water. I want that. Jesus, if you're real, beg me to come to you. And Jesus said, come have me. Remember, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked on water to the Lord. See, I believe this, that God sometimes will bless other people and set them right in your path just to get you stimulated. Just to say, you know what? If God will do it for them, he'll do it for me. I love hanging out with people who are doing more than I'm doing. I love going to pastors who are having success and who are running more. I know pastors that won't go to conferences. They won't go to meetings because they think, oh, if I go there, it's just so defeating. It's so discouraging because Man, their budget's so much bigger than ours, and they got so many more people. And man, it's like, you know, I guess I feel defeated when I leave there. I'm like, what? When I leave there, I feel pumped up. I feel encouraged because I think, God, if you did it for them, you can do it for me. God, your word says you're no respecter of persons. So, God, if you got a vision for them, God, you can do it for me. God, if you can do it in Dallas, you can do it in Joplin. God, if you can do it in them, you can do it for me. If you can do it in Springfield, you can do it in Joplin. See, God puts people in your life who are blessed to try to get you motivated. No, there's something else waiting for you better. The enemy wants to take what God's trying to do and let you get jealous. Why did God bless them? I've been a Christian longer than them. And God blessed them. No, God blessed them and put them right in the middle of your path so that you can see them and say, God, I want my blessing. Notice the difference. God, I don't want their house. God, I want my own. Thank God for you. God, I bless you. God gave you a new home. I celebrate with you that God did a miracle in your life. Thank God. God's blessed you with a nice home. Now, God, I'm blessing. God, I'm believing you for my new home. God, I'm believing you can work things out in my plans where I can afford a new home. God, God, thank you that that person got a new car. That's great. God, thank you. That's great for them. That's great. But God, I want my own new car. I don't want their car. I want my car. God, I want to be blessed. God, you got a blessing for me. God, I see what you're doing spiritually in their life. God, I don't want their blessing. God, I want my blessing. See, it makes it personal. And I can either see this and say, all right, God, you're trying to stimulate me to believe you for more in my life. I don't want their marriage. I want my own greater marriage. I don't want your man. I want my own man. Come on now, come on, ladies. You think you want that man until you get home. And that's all right. It's another sermon altogether. But you got to believe God for yourself. Believe God has something better for you. So how do you stop, as the musicians come, how do you stop the seeds of jealousy and tap into the seed of blessing when it comes to seeing people blessed? You got to praise them, man. When God does something for somebody else and blesses them, you get behind them, pat them on the back, and say, God bless, man. I celebrate with you. I praise God with you that God did a miracle in your life. I praise God that he met your miracle. He met your need. I praise God he blessed you more than what you thought. I praise God for you. I bless you. And I'm going to say, God, if you can do it for them, you can do it for me. I'm going to believe God for my own miracle. God, if you got a calling for them, you got a calling for me. God, if you can heal their marriage, you can make my marriage strong too. God, if you can save their children, God, you can save my children too. You got to begin to proclaim it, believe it, act like it, pray like it, praise like it, shout like it, give like it, serve like it, talk like it, and say, God, I believe that greater things are ahead in my life. I will not give up every time the enemy throws a dart my way. I will not give up every time I step into the ring of life and get sucker punched. No, it's just making me stronger. You know what he's doing? He's making me madder. What he meant to destroy me is just making me madder. And he don't realize he's creating a monster here. Sooner or later, the devil's going to know he's messing with the wrong person. Because every time he messes with me, he just makes me more determined. He makes me more stronger. He lets faith grow in my heart more. And I'm just going to go to a higher level every time he messes with me. Pretty soon, he'll quit messing with you. You know, I better leave that person alone. What I'm trying to destroy him is building them, developing them. Today, how many are ready to operate in a new level of faith? Are you ready to operate a new level of faith? I sense that in my heart. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Maybe you're here today like the four people in their first service who gave their heart to God and say, Pastor, I'm here today and I need to accept Jesus Christ. I need to access through faith the grace given to me on the cross of Jesus. When he died on the cross, that he died for my sins. And today, I need to ask Jesus Christ to forgive me my sins. I want a relationship with Jesus. I've never prayed the prayer of salvation before. And today I want to pray that prayer. Maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer a long time ago, but I haven't lived for God for a long time. And today I want to come back and renew that covenant. I want to renew that covenant. Nobody's looking around. And we want to embarrass you one bit, but we want to give you a chance to respond. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I'm ready to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Raise it high. If you haven't raised it yet, raise it right now. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these seven people today? Anybody else want to join? Come on. If you haven't raised your hand yet and you want to accept Jesus Christ, raise it right now. If you haven't done it yet, it's the last time I'm going to ask. Raise it right now. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Hey, incredible things are happening in your life. I believe that the Holy Spirit is moving you. He's tugging at your heart. That's why today you feel the need to say, I want to access through faith the salvation God has for my life. If you raise your hands today, I'm going to ask you to say this prayer after me. As Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my life, all of my hurt, all of my sin, all of my dreams. I give to you. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah, give me a hand clap. There's several people today. Give your hands. Talk to God. This is why we're here, church. 12 people today gave their heart to Christ in both services. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Father. If you pray, if you raised your hand today and prayed that prayer for the first time, stop by the information center in the back before you leave. We got a free Bible. Some other information in there tells you what you need to do on your journey. It's just the beginning, not the end. Just the beginning of what God wants to do in your life. Stop by and pick that up. It's a free gift to us. If you don't have a church home, get connected in a church home. We'd love to have you here. Surround with people who can support you. You're going to need support, okay? People who are going to help you, support you, encourage you. Get connected to a group. Get connected. If you're a young adult, get involved in the GAP. If you're a teenager, get involved in Illuminate Student Ministries. If you're an adult, get involved in one of the life groups. Get around people who are going to support you in your decision to follow after Christ. We all need that. How many today say, Pastor, I'm ready to move to a different level? I want to go to a higher dimension in my faith. Stand on your feet today if that's you. Say, Pastor, I'm ready to go to a higher dimension in my faith level. I'm going to ask you to join me around the front today as we close out in this song. Those of you who are ready to go to a higher dimension in your faith. Thank you, Father. God's doing something, man. God's doing something. I love it. Love what God's doing in your life. Scoot on in, guys. Make room for those coming in around the back. Thank you. If you can scoot us a little bit closer. There you go. Thank you. We're going to close with a song that says simply says, falling on my knees in worship, giving you all I am to seek you, Lord. Your face, all I am is yours. Praising him, he came to our rescue. I want you to allow your faith level this morning to be raised in your heart. Say, God, I want my faith level to increase. Lord, I want to operate in a higher dimension of faith. Come on. Raise your hands this morning. I want to pray for you one more time. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are raising up, Lord, some faith builders right here. Some kingdom of God believers who are going to advance the kingdom of God in faith, in power. God, you're refining them, refreshing them, empowering them. Father, I thank you that you're causing us to operate at a higher level of faith. We're not going to let past mistakes, past disappointments, past hurts define us. But God, we're going to allow the Word of God to implant new vision. We're going to allow the Word of God to open our eyes to the kingdom of God. Everything that it has for my life. Everything it has for my marriage. Everything it has for my church. Everything it has for my region. Lord, I'm going to open my eyes and say, God, I want to be full of faith. God, I pray right now that you raise up some young men, some young women, some moms, some dads, some grandmas and grandpas who are full of faith. God, you're raising us up, God, to be faith givers, Lord, faith believers. And God, I thank you that you're raising up some spiritual giants of faith, that when they get knocked down, they're not going to give up, but they're going to get up, God, with faith, giving you all the glory in our life, Father. We say, build our faith, God. Help us to operate. Change our actions. Change our faith. Now, come on, put your hands together. God, I agree with that word spoken over my life today. How many know now you understand why I say it's important to say I believe, I agree with that word. I'm stepping into agreement. See, it profits no man to hear it and not put it into action. God, I got to believe what's being spoken over my life. I've got to say that's my word for this week. That's my scripture for today. This is my season for this scripture. And step into that word. Believe and receive it, man. I'm so excited about what God's doing in your life. Turn to your neighbor and give him a high five. Give him a big hug. So, man, it was good to be with you today. God bless you. You guys have a great week.